Translation and Popol Vuh Sila Prabhupada, Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Actually, people read this translation, it will be nice if we go through what we have not read from previous verse. But start from 39. Translation. Some of the demons said, all the demigods have taken part in churning the ocean of milk. Now, as everyone has an equal right to take part in any public sacrifice according to the eternal religious system, it is befitting that the demigods now have a share of nectar. O king, in this way, the weaker demons forbade the stronger demons to take the nectar. So basically, now, there is a fighting between the demons. So they have a different argument. The stronger demon, they're saying that I have a right to drink this nectar first. But weaker demon, actually, they are quoting eternal religious system. So in order to justify their argument that they can have the nectar first. And here, purport. Desiring to take the nectar, those among the demons who were less strong spoke in favor of the demigods. The weaker Daityas naturally pleaded on behalf of the demigods to stop the stronger Daityas from drinking the nectar without sharing it. In this way, disagreement and trouble arose as they forbade one another to drink the nectar. So this how it is in the material world. In one sense, this reminds me of the Trojan War. You know, Trojan War, it happened because of a golden apple. Maybe I'll go through detail later. The golden apple, there is written, Thai Kalistei. So in Greek, Thai Kalistei means to the fairest. So those who is the fairest can take this golden apple. So there is a dispute amongst the goddess. And the translation from text 41 to 46. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who can counteract any unfavorable situation, then assumed the form of extremely beautiful woman. This incarnation as a woman, Mohini Murti, was most pleasing to the mind. Her complexion resembled in color a newly grown blackish lotus, and every part of her body was beautifully situated. Her ears were equally decorated with earrings. Her cheeks were very beautiful. Her nose was raised, and her face full of youthful luster. Her large breasts made her waist seem very thin. Attracted by the aroma of her face and body, bumblebees hummed around her, and thus her eyes were restless. Her hair, which was extremely beautiful, were garlanded with mallika flowers. Her attractively constructed neck was decorated with a necklace and other ornaments. Her arms were decorated with bangles. Her body was covered with a clean sari, and her breast seemed like islands in an ocean of beauty. Her legs were decorated with ankle bells because of the movement of her eyebrows as she smiled with shyness and glanced over the demons. All the demons were saturated with lusty desires, and every one of them desired to possess her. Purport. Because of the supreme lords assuming the form of beautiful woman to arouse the lusty desires of the demons, description of her complete beauty is given here. Thus ends Bhaktivedanta purport of 8th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Churning of the Milk Ocean. Now, chapter 9 begins. The Lord incarnates as Mohini Murti. Text 1. Sukadeva Goswami said that thereafter the demons became inimical towards one another, throwing and snatching the container of nectar. they gave up their friendship relationship. Meanwhile, they saw a very beautiful young woman coming forward towards them. Text 2. Upon seeing the beautiful woman, the demon said, "Alas, how wonderful is her beauty, how wonderful the luster of her body, and how wonderful the beauty of her youthful age." Speaking in this way, they quickly approached her, full of lusty desires to enjoy her, and began to inquire from her in many ways. Text 3. This is today's verse. "Oh, wonderfully beautiful girl, you have such a nice eyes, resembling the petals of a lotus flower. Who are you? Where do you come from? What is your purpose in coming here? And to whom do you belong? Oh, you whose thighs are extraordinarily beautiful. Our minds are becoming agitated simply because of seeing you." Purport. The demons inquired from the wonderfully beautiful girl, "To whom do you belong?" A woman is supposed to belong to her father before her marriage, to her husband after her marriage, and to her grown sons in her old age. In regard to this inquiry, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that the question, "To whom do you belong?" means, "Whose daughter are you?" Since the demons could understand that the beautiful girl was still unmarried, every one of them desired to marry her. Thus, they inquired, "Whose daughter are you?" Om Agyana Timendasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umiltam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Abheta Gadadara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you all for coming to my Bhagavatam class, and I'd like to seek blessings from all the devotees so that I can speak on this subject. Pancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patithanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. This is a quite exciting subject for both brahmacharis and brahmacharis. I think some of you are quite new to Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you hear first time Srimad Bhagavatam story, quite overwhelming and also quite unrealistic. And also it sounded mythology-like. So in order to make people understand the significance of Srimad Bhagavatam, before getting to this story, I'd like to touch basis. First three verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, one sense, it describes the purport and introduction and conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. After three verses, the story of Namasharanya starts, how Sutta Goswami heard Srimad Bhagavatam and how he started to describe or speak Srimad Bhagavatam in front of many sages. And in that first three verse, it says that Nigamak Alpataro Kalitam Palam. So Nigama means all the Vedic literature, and then all the Vedic literature is like a Kalpataro. So we prayed in the beginning, Vaishnava is like Kalpataro. So that's why when we seek blessings and we recite this verse, Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha. So Pancha means I offer obeisances to the Vaishnavas. Why? Because they are like a desire tree. Kalpataro means desire tree. So whatever you wish in your life, when you offer obeisances to the devotees, then actually there are high chance for you to get what you wishes. So in this way, Vedic literature, Nigama is like Kalpataru. So, like desire tree. And then Kalitampalam. So out of this desire tree, actually what you need is the fruit of it. So when there is a tree, there is a fruit. So when you are hungry, rather than eating the root or branches, it's good to pick the fruit. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like a Kalitampalam, it's a mature fruit, well ripe. And not only that, Sukha Mukha Amrita Dvarda Samyutam. So, whatever in this material, if we try to achieve something, actually we put an endeavor to it. We have to make an effort. For example, the ghee is in the milk. The potency of ghee is in the milk. So when you offer oblation in the fire, in the yagya, so we offer the ghee so that Krishna accepts whatever we offer. So, but if you offer the milk, actually it will put up fire rather than increasing the fire. So in order to retrieve ghee, actually we churn the milk. Of course, the butter comes up first, and after butter, and then ghee comes. In this way, endeavor requires whatever we do. So, Srimad Bhagavatam itself is a mature fruit, but when Sukadeva Goswami touches by his lips, then it becomes sweeter. So we are actually releasing the most sweet part of the Vedic literature. And this Vedic literature itself, basically nothing but a desire tree. So this is the significance of the Vedic literature and the significance of Srimad Bhagavatam. But in reality, when you try to read the Srimad Bhagavatam and try to study Bhagavatam, actually it is overwhelming. It's very difficult to grasp it. First of all, the scale itself is so vast that we cannot kind of comprehend. So here, Krishna churning milk ocean. So how many of you actually churn the milk, maybe 50 liters of milk? How many of you experience of churning 50 liters of milk? Maybe Taruna, maybe. Sometimes when we make a seed rice, normally we churn maximum 40 liters. But when the festival comes, we churn around 80 liters of milk with both pots. Sometimes when you have big festival, we churn the 100 liters of milk, 50 pot each, like with both hands, like rowing. Lalita Saki Mataji well experienced with that. But can you imagine an ocean of milk? How can we churn? It's difficult to grasp it. So in order to understand this, we need to have a simple science or simple analogy. So for example, when we capture, nowadays there are famous the kind of mobile phone and captures all the movement, yes. So let's say someone shot arrow. And then by your mobile phone you captured that arrow. Then when you show the person, look, I captured this scene. Somebody shot the arrow, look at this. But when you look at that arrow, how does it look? It's not flying. It's static. Yeah? Does it make sense? But in reality, arrow was going fast with a speed of, let's say, 60 miles an hour, maybe. So, but the person who look at the arrow, he sees only the static side of it. But in reality, this is called appearance. What you see is the only static arrow, but in reality, he's going fast speed and also someone who shot and going towards a certain direction. In this way, the same way, when we look at skies at night, many, many stars. So let's say, for example, Polestar. Polestar, by the speed of light, You know how fast is the speed of light? It goes around, with 1 second, it goes around 7.5 times around the globe. So when the light from the sun, to the earth, it takes around 8 minutes 19 seconds, something like that. Is it true? Around 8 minutes it takes from the sun, the light reaches to earth, around more than 8 minutes. But when you look at pole star, the light from pole star to reach to this material earth, it takes, you know how long does it take? 1,000 light year. This means we are looking at the pole star 1,000 light year ago. So in reality, if we take, for example, spaceship, if we go to pole star, it may not there. It's long gone by now. But actually we are seeing the pole star every night. And we see, oh, how beautiful. Starry, starry night. So we sing a song also. So, but let's imagine we are at the moment in pole star and then looking back down this material earth. So from pole star, what we see is only twinkling. Maybe we may not be able to see at all about this material earth, this globe, because it's so small. But actually in reality, so many things are going on. There's so many people here, and then Srimad Bhagavatam class is going on right now. So in this way, what we see, the appearance of it, is a tiny, tiny speck of the reality. Now, going back to Srimad Bhagavatam, because Sukadev Goswami has only 7 days to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam, he condensed of whatever he wants to speak into very, very tiny form, which is called 18,000 verses. Someone say, did you count 18,000 verses? I have not, but in general we say the 18,000 verses Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, when we see this Srimad Bhagavatam, actually there are huge story behind it. So then how do you understand this Srimad Bhagavatam? So in order to understand this Srimad Bhagavatam, in general, we quote the learning process in Vedic culture. In learning process of the Vedic culture, it requires 4 things. Acharya param adante, shishya param swamedaya, sa brahmacharya padam padam kala gramenacha. First of all, acharya padam adate. In order to learn something, 1/4 actually guru take the position. So we have to seek guidance from the teacher. So that's why we have a purport here. So without purport, actually it will be easily misled. As rightly said in the first canto, manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrita. So manda, we are lazy, manda sumanda matayo, easily misguided. So in this way, we need the help of acharya. And then, shisha swamedaya. And then the person who studies it, actually he needs, swa means his own, meda means intelligent. He has to apply his reason and his logic, and he has to think. One time Prabhupada said to his disciple, do you study my book? And the disciple said, yes, I read your book every day. Prabhupada said, no, I mean study. Do you study my book? And then Prabhupada disciple couldn't answer. Study means not just reading. Study means you have to understand the main theme of it, and then the connection between the chapters, and the conclusion of it, and also study means how it applies to your practical day-to-day life. How this is relevant to my life. you have to chewing over it. This means study. That is another quarter of learning process. Another quarter of the learning or understanding this Srimad Bhagavatam. And furthermore, sa brahmacharya bya padam. That's not enough, he says. You must discuss amongst each other. So brahmacharya means, what does brahmacharya mean? Literally. No, literally. Someone who seek Brahman. That's called brahmacharya. But what is brahmana means? One who knows Brahman. Do you know Brahman? Let us think. So in this way, it is necessary to discuss each other about the topic on Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes I get a little bit annoyed or disturbed when it's talk, when people, as soon as they see me, they see me as Korean, and then they heard some news has to do with the Korean, and they, hey, Babu, you know what happened? You know, North Korea, they shot the missile. Actually, I don't welcome this kind of story. I will welcome someone approaching me, Babu, I read the Srimad Bhagavatam such and such a section. I don't know, what do you think? If you approach me in this way, then I will really, really welcome. Yeah? So, we have a habit of discussing kind of a hot issue in day-to-day life. But we don't have a really habit, or someone may have, but I don't come across quite regularly about the people having habit that trying to discuss the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. And not only that, the last part of learning process is padam kala gramena cha. Kala means time. Gramena means, grammar means sequence, the steps. First canto again, Sutta Goswami explains, swadhu swadhu pade pade. So when you learn this Srimad Bhagavatam, go by step, don't jump. So in this way, kala gramena, by steps of time we learn. Sometimes we don't understand, but we have to be patient. Still, we have to ponder over the topic. Then at the end, at one day you'll come, then, ah. That's the meaning, I think. That's why it is important, in one sense, to learn verse, memorize verse, so that we do a lot in Srimad Bhagavata. So all of a sudden, sometimes some incident comes, then, or sometimes you see some issues, then all of a sudden it relates automatically to the verse you are really, really memorizing. So in this way, Kala nothing but Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, we'll understand these things. So, quite extraordinary subject and quite difficult to grasp it. But at the same time, by the mercy of Krishna, Kala Kramana, by the steps of time, and by the help of colleagues or amongst the devotees and also acharyas and also our own study, we will attempt to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'm here today in a position as Sabramacharya. I'm trying to understand as you understand. And also this place right now will be a place of discussion. I'm not in a position where as Acharya to speak my understanding in one direction. So ultimately Srimad Bhagavatam is in one sense two-way traffic. Yes? Parshik Maharaj asks question, Sukadeva Goswami answers. In this way, I throw some questions. Yeah? And also, you trying to use your own logic, your own vision, your own understanding, trying to share with us. I know Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning class, you want to sit down, you just hear, and then take prasadam, that's it. But today, I'd like to ask you, if I ask you something, just try to think and then give us some answer or give us some feedback so that everyone can get benefit. Yes, Mataji?
Actually,
How?
Thousands of ways.
Thousands of ways. Yes, there are thousands of ways of maybe understanding and describing. And Krishna entered the wrestling match. Some people saw Krishna as their friend. Some people saw Krishna as their enemy. Some people saw Krishna as another kind of neighbors. Some people saw Krishna as what they call fierce personified. So there are many ways to see Krishna, thousands, thousands of ways. That's why Krishna has a thousand and millions or unlimited names. So, but we limited in the Vishnu Sahasranam, 1,000 names. So now, going back to this story, churning of milk ocean. So, this milk ocean, let us think. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokunanda ki, Jai Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman ki, Jai Sri Sri Gauranita ki, Jai. The churning of milk ocean, what kind of significance does this story have? Significance, or yeah, what is the meaning of this churning the milk ocean? Oh, in another reality, yes, yeah.
Cleaning heart.
Could you describe a bit more? Okay, so this devotee mentioned that the churning ocean karma signifies that churning our heart. So when we start to take up devotional service, actually we are churning our heart, so it starts cleaning. So when it starts clean, kind of poison comes out. So, thank you. Nice. And the Mataji? Similar. First of all, everyone agrees that, this milk ocean means it's nothing but churning our heart. Yes, Mataji?
Churning of the
Bhavatam. Churning of Bhavatam. Yes.
I was not understanding this. For someone who just came from outside, maybe the lesson will get from this, you know. Demigods and demons come to anything without the help of God. And no matter how powerful you are, it's still me, Krishna.
Okay. That's a nice understanding. He's saying it establishes the position of Krishna. There are many gods, there are many demigods, there are many demons also, but actually so-called demigods or so-called gods, they cannot really do anything without sanction or without the help of God, who is Krishna, Supreme Personality of God. That's a nice point you made. Thank you. And someone else? Some more? Let's churn a bit more. Yes, Srinivas Babu. Okay. So Krishna even can take a form of a woman. How multifarious it is. Yes, Prabhu. Lord protects devotees. That's a good one. Yeah, Krishna protects all alleged devotees. And also another thing. Yes, Mataji. Through churning, so we get the nice things also, not only poison. Yes, okay. In general, some Bhavatam scholars, they saying that the significance of this churning milk ocean, first of all, it explains about Krishna's nature. As we want to have sometimes fun, yeah, Krishna wants to have fun also. So when Krishna wants to have fun, actually the whole ocean gets churned. So when you have fun, basically we go to some park or and the kids, when they have fun, they need to have toys. So our toy is quite small, or our toy maybe, you know, the Game Boy or whatever, or you sometimes play with the phone. But Krishna's fun actually has to do the whole ocean. So the scale is different. And the second thing is that when churning the ocean, actually Krishna retrieved what we lost. Basically, as time goes by, we feeling that we are getting educated more and more and more. So we are learning ABCD, we learn how to count, all these things. But here, mother maybe kind of have sympathy with me. When he raises children, we'll see that there's so much goodness when they are in a baby. And then when they're young, when they grow up, there's so many nice discussions going on with the parents. And they can relate to everybody. And they can relate to even the death matter. That's why they can talk to even their doll. They're talking genuinely, not just imitating. And also for them, there's no discrimination. You know, whether it's black or white or Indian, for them, they can be friends to everybody. Their heart is so kind of clean and open-minded. They observe everything. And then it's an amazing thing. But through the education, actually, we lose most good quality of the when we are very, very young. So in this way, as time goes by, actually we are overwhelmed or we are governed by our own desires, our own needs and demands, all these things. So through this demand, through this need, actually we are losing intrinsic quality of devotees, intrinsic quality as a human being, Satchit Ananda. Actually we are losing it. People striving for the Ananda happiness, by stepping forward to that happiness, actually we are stepping one step getting away. Krishna signifies that. So through this churning, actually Krishna retrieves what we have lost. We lost, the demigods lost the, what you call the jewelry, they lost what you call the Airavata, they lost the horse, they lost so many things. But through this churning, actually we are getting it back. So Sri Bhagavatam is like that. So, through this reading, sometimes makes you a bit bored, sometimes makes you a bit wondered, but actually through this process, actually we are retrieving what we have lost. And also ultimately, by churning of a mystical ocean, by this nectar, what is the function of this nectar? It brought the demigod's life back. So ultimately we will get out of this mess of birth and death. Originally, we are living happily without going through pain of death. But by churning, this churning will not go through any more this birth and death. These are the significance of this story. And the particular verse today, describes the demon's mentality. And then who are you, where are you from, and then do you, basically, are you married or not? It reminds me of in the kitchen. When the young lady comes and then, oh, how are you, where are you from? And then, what's your name? In this way, I'm trying to make it familiar with this lady, but of course that is has to do with a kind of a facilitated service for make them feel comfortable in the service. But in here, demons have a different motivation. And plus, in the first verse, it says that here, demons became inimical towards one another. Mm-hmm. So here, when I read this verse, kind of one thing struck in my mind. Do you know the difference between myth and legend? Legend and myth. Both of them extraordinary stories. What's the difference? Yes.
Legend.
Is it fact? Yeah, it's crude, it's cracked. Both of them are extraordinary stories, but legend based on the fact, based on the history. So we say the legend of King Arthur in England, yeah? But we don't say myth of King Arthur, because King Arthur is a historical person. But myth, there are many amazing stories, but it's not based on the history. But when I read this one, then is this history or not? Is Srimad Bhagavatam, is it history or not? Huh? Yes, yes. So when did it happen, this one then? In this kalpa. Which manu's time?
All seven.
I heard that. Gajendra Moksha story, it happened post Manu. But this churning the milk ocean, it happened the fifth Manu's time. No, the sixth Manu's time. One Manu before us. At the moment, we are seventh Manu, I think. And also, the nature of history, it repeats itself. Yeah? So, earlier on, I mentioned about Trojan War. So when Trojan War, at the beginning of the Trojan War, is like this. The goddess, sea goddess, someone says sea nymph, her name was Tethys. And there is one other old man, king, human king, his name was Peleus. Then when the Peleus Tethys, when they got married, actually they are father of Achilles, yeah? In their marriage, they didn't invite one demigod. They invited all the gods but one demigod. Do you know who is that? Goddess of discord. Discord means unharmony. Discord means the dispute. Yeah? So because they were worried that if we invite this goddess of discord, then our marriage may some kind of argument sometimes happen. So they were a bit worried. So they didn't invite. But this goddess of discord knew that there was marriage, but she wasn't invited. She was a bit upset. So that's why she brought golden apple, which is written Dei Kaliste, to the fairest, and then left this golden apple in the middle of the wedding party, and then all of a sudden someone brought this golden apple to Zeus. And then, oh, somebody brought this golden apple. And then Zeus said, oh, someone has to get this apple, so who's going to have this apple? And then the three goddesses claim for, I'm the fairest. The first one is Hera, the Zeus's wife. And the second one is, who's that second one? I think Aphrodite, the goddess of beauty. And then third one is Athens, the goddess of war. So three ladies came and then they trying to claim for this golden apple. So Zeus, actually in his heart, he wanted to give it to Aphrodite, goddess of beauty. So you are the most beautiful that you should have. But he's worried about his wife, Hera. Hera will pick on him. So I can't do anything about it. And then give this to Paris. So who is second prince of Trojan, Troy. And then this story goes on. And basically, this dispute amongst the goddess. Actually, this also signifies that the Hera is the signifies the wealth, and then Athens, of course, signifies the power, and then another thing is that Aphrodite signifies the beauty. So people seek these three things: either power, either beauty. They seek for these three things altogether sometimes. So in this way, this is the beginning of the Trojan War. And of course, Paris went to, kidnapped the Helen. And then because of the Helen, they kidnapped all the Greek countries, they get together and then they went to the Troy to defeat and to retrieve the Helen back. And the whole world came. So this world was it lasted for 10 years. It's like that. So, a long time ago, this Trojan War considered as a myth, but now they found the place, exactly they located the place in Turkey, where the war happens, and then now it's a known fact that this war happened around BC 1182 years ago, like that. So in this way, my class is coming to an end, that, whatever story in Srimad Bhagavatam, we try to understand in four different ways. First of all, we have to see the purport. And then second of all, we have to use our own intelligence. And then third of all, we have to study amongst each other. And then we have to let time mature, so that our understanding gets deeper. And also, this story is extraordinary story. We have to see this as, we have to understand this story as history, and then still it happens, and also it is still relevant to us. Yes? And then, similar things are happening in UK and in Korea and all over the world. For example, nowadays the golden apple, or nowadays the, what do you call this nectar is called? What do you call? I see that that is a kind of a lottery. People looking for lottery, and they won the lottery, and then their family collapse, their whole life get messed up. Statistics shows that 70% of people who won the lottery, actually they become miserable than before. They ended up in misery. So, our golden apple is Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it won't give you misery. It'll give you liberation. Thank you very much. And do you have any question? Yes.